The ability to overcome adversity is often the difference in success and failure. It's the difference in those that we respect and those that we pity. But how many times do we think about overcoming things that are pleasurable? Overcoming things that the world shows us are signs of success. Well, the Bible shows us a great example of one who overcame the pleasurable, the successful, the things that all men search for. Stay tuned as we study God's truth for the world.
And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We are so happy that you've decided to join us today for this time of Bible study. It's always a pleasure to be able to turn our attention to God's Word, and we're glad that you have an interest in spiritual things and you set aside this time to study together with us. I invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to take our text from verses 24 through 28. There are many things in this life that we have to overcome, things that are difficult. We have to overcome hatred from some people sometimes. There are many times that we have to overcome being treated unfairly. There are times that we are greatly disappointed in friends and betrayed by friends. We have to overcome that. We may have physical challenges of disease and sickness that we have to overcome. But few of us give real consideration to overcoming the good things of life, overcoming things that are pleasurable, overcoming ease and success. Yet the Bible teaches us that there was a man who did exactly that. Open your Bible and read with me from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. It says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them." This passage tells us about the great man Moses and the events connected with Moses' life as he was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and out of that bondage. In the passage that we've just read, we notice that there are five specific acts of faith that are connected to Moses and to his life. This is important for us to consider because the Bible teaches us very clearly that faith is active, that Bible faith is active. Bible faith is always that which moves man to do something. Here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have many examples of this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we find out that by faith Abel offered. We know that he offered a sacrifice to God. His faith moved him to offer something, to do something. In verse 5 of the same chapter, we're told that by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and he was not found. Why was this? Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His faith moved him to please God. Now, this was an active faith. How do we know that? In Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but in verses 14 and 15, we read about Enoch, and it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Enoch's faith was an active one, a faith that caused him to speak out and speak against those who were ungodly. We see there that the message that he preached was a harsh message, and I'm sure that there were very few people who were pleased by it. But God was pleased by it. God was so pleased that he spared him from suffering physical death. We then see in chapter 11 and verse 7 of Hebrews that it is by faith that Noah prepared an ark. Again, his faith moved him to action to prepare that ark to the saving of himself and his family. We then find in verse 8 of this chapter that by faith Abraham went. Abraham was called to leave his homeland, to go into another land that he did not know. He did this by faith. His faith moved him to action. We find in verse 17 of the same chapter that is by faith that Abraham offered up Isaac. He made a sacrifice. Now, God stopped him from actually killing his son, but the offering was made as far as Abraham was concerned. We then find in verse 20 of this chapter that by faith Isaac blessed. And also in verse 21 that by faith Jacob blessed. Both of them passed on a blessing to the next generation. And this was done by faith. Their faith moved them to action. So we see here that Moses is attributed with five separate acts of faith. It is said that Moses refused. It is said that Moses chose. It's said that Moses esteemed. That Moses forsook Egypt. And that Moses kept the Passover. These five things are attributed to Moses. Moses did all of them, and he did them by faith. Now, I want to look only at one small area that has been given to us here. We're told that Moses refused. Specifically, he refused the glory of Pharaoh's house. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This was a great honor. This was great glory to him. He would have been a man of great authority, of great wealth, of great honor, of great standing. All of this was his for the taking, and he refused it. That's the reason that we've entitled the lesson, Overcoming the Pleasures of Sin. Because the pleasures of sin were certainly offered to Moses. They were available there, and he turned them down. We see that the sonship had to have been offered to him. This was available to him through the daughter of Pharaoh. Notice, if you would, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, here we find Pharaoh's daughter adopting and naming Moses. The text reads this way, "Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.'" Now, if you know the story, you know that at this point, Pharaoh's daughter is talking to Moses' mother. Moses was born during a time when Pharaoh said that all of the male Israelite children should be thrown into the river and killed. But his mother didn't kill him. Instead, she hid him, and when she could no longer hide him, she put him in an ark made of bulrushes and put that in the river. When Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe, she saw it. She was taken with the child, and she wanted to keep the child as her own. Moses' sister, Miriam, went and gathered Moses' mother and brought her as a suitable nurse. So Moses' mother was paid for nursing her own son and helping to raise him in his young years. We then find that the text continues that the woman, this being Moses' mother, took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. He became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water," which is what the name Moses means. Moses had this sonship offered to him because of the benevolence of Pharaoh's daughter. But we need to understand that there was a refusal here, a refusal on Moses' part to partake in that, to be called part of Pharaoh's house, to be considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Have you ever wondered why Moses turned that down? Well, the answer is given to us in the text that we read earlier. Moses refused the sonship of Pharaoh's house because God told him to. Now, how can you say that? Is there a verse that specifically says that God did that? No. Is there a verse that records that conversation between God and Moses? Again, the answer is no. But we're told in our text, Hebrews 11:24, that it was by faith that Moses refused this sonship. We need to understand all that that means. It means more than just because of his belief. We find in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Therefore, in order for something to be done by faith, it must be an action that is performed out of an obedience to God's instruction, with man trusting God to know what is right. God had to have instructed Moses to reject that. Because he instructed him so, and Moses believed God, he then obeyed him, and that means that it was done by faith. Now, sometimes we don't consider all of the things that Moses must have already known in Egypt. There must have been many. He knew, according to Hebrews 11:25, that God had a chosen people, and He chose to suffer affliction with them rather than to enjoy all the glories of Pharaoh's house, which is a passing pleasure of sin. According to Hebrews 11:26, He knew of the Christ. There was a promised Messiah that would come one day, and He already knew that, according to Hebrews 11:26. We also know that He knew about a great reward that God was offering. This is the reward of heaven. According to Hebrews 11:26, He was looking to that reward rather than looking to the treasures of Egypt. We also know that He knew that God would deliver His people. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 25, in Stephen's sermon, he gives a little history lesson. And regarding Moses, it says, "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." Moses knew that God would deliver and knew that he would be God's instrument of deliverance. So says Acts chapter 7 and verse 25. All of these things Moses knew when he was in the land of Egypt. Because he knew all of these things, he was able to put together a very complete picture of what God wanted of him. He knew that there was Jehovah God, the Almighty. He knew that God had a people. That people was Israel. He knew that God would deliver his people out of the bondage of Egypt. He knew that he, Moses, would be the instrument of deliverance for God's people. And he understood this even when others did not. Now, of course, we know that everything did not go smoothly in Moses' life. We know that he killed an Egyptian, and because of fear of Pharaoh, he fled. And for 40 years, he lived as a shepherd. He married a wife. He had children there. And finally, God, through the burning bush, calls him back to this job of delivering his people. Moses then, at the age of 80, is finally convinced by God to go back and do what he should do. We see that Moses gave up much. He overcame many things that we would consider pleasurable and successful, and he did so to be the servant of God. In our study today, we looked at the man Moses. We looked at the things that his faith prompted him to do. And we understand now that when something is done by faith, by Bible faith, it means that three things must exist. There must be, first of all, God's instruction on the matter. Secondly, there must be man's acceptance of or trust in God based on what he has said. And thirdly, there must be the obedient action on the part of man. When those three things exist, then you have something done by faith. Now, many times today when we talk about doing something by faith, we mean something very different. We mean that I don't have any authority for what I'm doing. I don't have any evidence that leads me to believe that this is the right thing. And since I don't have any evidence and I don't have any authority, I'm just going to reach out in faith. I'm just going to take that blind leap in the dark and hope that everything works out okay. Well, that is not something done by faith. That is something done in hope. And really, it's not even hope, because Bible hope is the desire for something with the expectation, a reasonable expectation of receiving what's desired. That is hope. For example, the Christian has a great hope of heaven. Well, he desires it, and because of the things that the Bible says and the promises that God has made, there is a reasonable expectation of receiving that which is desired. What we really have when people say that they're doing something by faith, and what they mean is that there's no evidence for it, there's no authority for it, they just hope it turns out okay, they're really doing something based on their wishes, based on a desire they have without expectation of fulfillment. And then if it turns out, oh, that's wonderful, and it's always a surprise. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, of course. The Bible teaches that God instructs, that man trusts what God says, and man obediently fulfills what God says. And then you have something done by faith. Such was the case with Moses. God told him what his plan for him was, what his plan for his people was, and God told him that there would be a coming Messiah. It's very interesting to me that Moses could see the Christ by faith. He could see, knowing that many years later God would send a deliverer. In fact, as the leader of God's people, Moses said that there were similarities between himself and between the Christ that was to come. He was a prophet of God, and God would raise up that great prophet in the last day. And of course, that was Jesus the Christ. We see that because of this faith, Moses was able to give up what almost all in that day would have considered the pinnacle of success. He had an opportunity to live as a member of Pharaoh's house with all of the treasure, all of the honor, and all of the glory, and he turned that down. He overcame not only adversity in his life, but he overcame the pleasure of sin. I hope that our faith is strong enough to cause us to do the same thing. That when there are things that are pleasurable, and there are many things about sin that are, at least for a time, pleasurable. Our text refers to it as the passing pleasure of sin. That is pleasurable, but only for a short time. We need to have a faith that is strong enough that we can turn our back even on the pleasure of sin. We can say, yes, this might make me feel good now. This might make me happy for a short period of time, but the Bible teaches against it. The Bible says that it's wrong. Therefore, I will not do it. I will rather take that great happiness, that everlasting happiness that comes in the end to those who are faithful.